Happy Mother's Day. Really glad you guys are here. And we're in the series Legends. We're honoring all different kinds of people this month. And so today we're honoring all the moms. The thing, of course, mothers, that makes us moms are our kids. And so I want to honor my kids. And one of them, yay, Annie and our son-in-law, Zach, are here this morning at second service. Our oldest daughter, Megan, and her husband, Brody, and our first granddaughter, Eden, they were here first service. So we have Megan and Brody, Annie and Zach. Then we have Luke and Kelsey. They are in Australia at Hillsong. And Kelsey sent me a text this morning. Luke sent me a note last night. And Eric and Alexa are in Tulsa, Oklahoma, heading home next Sunday, actually, for a couple of months. And they both sent me a text this morning as well. So blessed to have four kids, one grandchild. And like you moms, we learn a lot, don't we, about being a mom or being a grandmother. And I've discovered that the distinguishing mark, or one of the things that's most important, I think, for doing motherhood with strength is to have joy, to be a joyful mom. We're going to talk about eight traits, eight things every joyful mother knows. And of course, you're going to relate to many of these. And it's an inspirational message to encourage you, to give you some practical wisdom, to refresh you, to let you know you're doing a good job. Moms and grandmothers, you're doing a good job. And so often as mothers, we deal with mom guilt. We're just not doing it right. We're not doing it good enough. Everybody else is a better mom than we are. But I just want to encourage you today. And I believe God wants to lift you up. You're really important in his big picture. You're really important in his big picture and what he's doing. And he has selected you to be the mother of the kids you are mother to, or stepmother to, or the kids you've adopted, or those that you are a spiritual mom to. He's picked you. And so we're going to encourage you today with some joy. And all the people said, let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into it. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the moms represented here and those watching by way of TV or online. And Lord, thank you. You know each and every one. You know they're 24/7. You know they're 365 days a year, every year. You know all the prayers they've prayed, all the thoughts they've thought. Lord, their challenges. And I just ask you to give an extra dose of encouragement to all the moms today, an extra dose of joy in Jesus' name to strengthen them and to lift them up. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen. Being a joyful mom. Well, Psalm 113, verse 9 says this. It says, he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Key words there, joyful mother, to be a joyful mom. Now, you'll notice throughout today, we're going to have some funny little memes, some funny little cartoons to bring you some joy, moms. And so you'll see this one is pretty funny. Do you think I'm a bad mom, Jimmy? My name is Jack. How many of you, of course, moms, you go through the list, don't you, with your kids? Don't you go through the list? You know, Beth, Ryan, Kelly, Michelle, me and my mother went through the list all the time. We do it all the time with our kids. I mean, to the point that one Christmas, this is actually sad, but one Christmas, there was one present still under the tree. We were like, well, why is there still one present under the tree? Who is that for? So we went over and looked. It was for my sister, Rhonda. How in the world did we get a present for Rhonda, my sister, under the tree? Turns out it was actually for Megan. When we were wrapping presents the night before, you know how mothers, your brain just, you don't know who you're calling and talking to? Somehow in my brain, I wrote the present out to Rhonda, my sister. And I've called Megan Rhonda numerous times. So it happens. But you'd be joyful about it. Don't worry. Carry on. A joyful mother will have sticky floors, dirty ovens, and happy kids. I like what the Amplified Bible says in Psalm 113, verse 9. It says, he makes the barren woman to be a homemaker and a joyful mother of spiritual children. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, all of us moms, whether you have natural children or not, all of us are spiritual moms and can be, and we can nurture others in the things of the Lord. So the Lord does that. He makes us the joyful mother of children, of spiritual children. And when we're talking about joy, by definition, joy is an internal thing as opposed to happiness. Happiness is good, but joy is an internal satisfaction. A deep, abiding sense of rest and peace and calm and a smile. It's an inner smile. And as moms, we can have that inner joy, that inner smile, no matter what's going on, whether things are great or whether they're difficult or challenging. And as we go through today, we're going to talk about these eight particular things that joyful moms know. Listen, let's just stir up that inner joy. Eventually it is reflected. Eventually it is reflected in the outer world in which we live, but it's an internal thing at its core. Here's 8 secrets all joyful moms know. Number 1, we're going to talk about joyful moms love the word impossible. Joyful moms don't sweat what they're not. Joyful moms carry a charger. Joyful moms are smarter than the CIA. Joyful moms do not believe in sleep. Joyful moms don't freak out. Joyful moms act like farmers. And joyful moms laugh at the future. A couple of funny texts going back and forth between moms and their kids. This first one, "Mom, where are you? Leaving Walmart halfway home. Why, sweetie? You brought me to Walmart with you. Oh, no, I'll be back in a minute." Another text between a mom and a child. "Your great aunt just passed away. LOL. The response, "Why is that funny?" "It's not funny, David. What do you mean?" "Mom, LOL means laughing out loud." Mom responds, "Oh, my goodness, I just sent that to everyone. I thought it meant love you lots." I have to call everyone back. Then another text between a mother and a child. Mother says, mother texts, "Don't forget to unload the dishwasher." No response. "Did you finish your homework?" No response. "We have to go to grandmother's house for Thanksgiving." No response. "Dad and I talked and we're going to buy you a car next month." Instant response. "You are? OMG, thank you." Mom's response, "No, we're not. I just wanted to make sure you were getting my text." The son's response, "That was cruel." So let's talk about these 8 things joyful mothers know. The reason that joy is such a big thing is there's so many benefits to having a joyful heart, a joyful spirit, and cultivating it. And don't let yourself be Debbie Downer. And don't let yourself be depressed and doom and gloom and on the low end of things. Don't sing the blues, moms. Don't do it. Don't yield to the temptation. Because we're all tempted at times, but make sure that you on purpose stir it up. And by faith, you grab onto God and his word to be a joyful mom. And here are some of the benefits. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken." Well, what happens to your countenance? Your countenance is your face. I mean, all of us are looking for help there, aren't we? Especially as you get older. We're looking for every cream, lotion, serum, needle, laser. TMI. I'm looking. I'll just be upfront honest. Whatever's out there that's legal, I'm all about it. So, but here's the thing. What's the best thing you can do for your face? Have joy. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, a joyful countenance. It's your face, it's your smile, it's your eyes. Do you know, it's funny, in Proverbs it says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart." Something about the light in your eyes, you can cultivate that. From the inside out, there's a glow, because on the inside there's joy. And the benefit to you is it brightens up your face. The benefit to you is it probably helps with wrinkles. Who knows? It probably does. What else? It helps your eyes have that smile in it. It helps your smile. Then we see in Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Now, I know we could read this figuratively, but I don't think we should. I think we should read scripture both figuratively and then with revelation. And when you read it with the eyes of revelation, there is a revelation in here that a cheerful heart is like medicine. Science has proven, you know, scientific studies have proven the benefits of laughter, not from a spiritual side, just from a natural side. The serotonins that are released, the endorphins, the chemical changes in a person's body because of laughter. And the Bible told us that a long time ago. It said, no, a merry heart is good like medicine. The Lord knew we needed to be medicated to go through life. And he gave us laughter. He gave us a merry heart, the chance to have a merry heart, and it does good like medicine. A little side thought, which is interesting in this verse, is a broken spirit dries up the bones. There's a contrast here between a merry heart and medicine and bones. So I don't know, I just wonder, is it possible they'll discover that a merry heart is good for the bones? Is it possible? We know it's good medicine for the whole rest of our body. It's just an interesting sidelight, the contrast here. What's the benefit of being a joyful mother? Your countenance, your health, medicine to all your flesh. And then Nehemiah says this. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's no law against being joyful. Nobody can tell you to stop it. You can be a joyful person, and it gives you inner strength. It is your strength. Well, here's a little gif of a joyful mom. Maybe you saw her at an NBA game. This thing went kind of viral, but I'd say she's got some joy. Let's take a look. She's got it. So what do we know? Number one, joyful moms love the word impossible. Little quote here. Currently helping my son search for his chocolate that I ate last night. It's impossible. Genesis 21. Get this. Talking about joyful moms love the word impossible. The Lord visited Sarah and Abraham as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken. Boy, do you see God said, God spoke, God had spoken. Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah said this. She said, God has made me laugh. That's just a great thought. Moms, God has made you laugh. And all who hear will laugh with me. Talking about a joyful mom. What was it that made Sarah laugh? What was it that God did that enabled Sarah to laugh? He did the impossible. It goes on, verse 7, for she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? I have borne him a son in his old age. I love that phrase. Who would have said? Holy smokes, who would have said? I just want to encourage you, moms, and challenge you. Are you facing an impossible situation? Are you dealing with something that just looks impossible within your own life, your own health, your own mind, your own person, within your raising of your children, with your kids, in your marriage, in your finances, in your purpose in life? Are you facing what looks like an impossibility? Joyful mothers thrive on the word impossible, not because they thrive on torment, but because they know their God. They know that if God said it, he'll do it. And that's what I love about this passage. It starts with, not that Sarah laughed, it starts with God said, God said, God said. So moms, what has God said to you? What promises has he given you? What has he said? What's his word to you been over the years about the thing that seems impossible? And you might say, well, I don't know what the Lord has said. I don't even know if he said anything. Then get into the Bible, spend some time with the Lord. That's where you start. Step one, right? To get that joy. It starts with the promise. Spend some time with the Lord and find out, what is he saying to you about this impossible thing? What is the Lord saying? Not the circumstances, not your best friend, not social media, not the doctors, not all the experts. No, what is the Lord saying to you about this impossible thing? And then inside, you're going to have great joy. Inside, you can go, okay, I've heard from God. Now, it might take faith and patience. Took these guys quite a few years. I mean, Abraham's 100. Might take faith and patience, but you hold on to what God said, because at the end, the Lord makes you laugh. And then people say, and Sarah said, who would have thought it? Who would have thought it was going to go down this way? Amen. Be encouraged, moms. Joyful moms love the word impossible because they know that with God, all things are possible. Number two, joyful moms don't sweat what they're not. And this is an important one. And you young moms, man, get a hold of this one. I wish I would have gotten a hold of this one earlier. But this is an important one. Joyful moms, you don't have to sweat what you're not. In the little meme there, it says, my nickname is Mom, but my full name is Mom, 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 Mom. We can all relate to that, can't we? In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that are with young. I remember when our kids were little, we had four kids all about 2 years apart. And at the same time, we had Megan and Annie. I was pregnant with Luke, and we were starting the church. So it was a busy season. And I remember that overwhelming feeling, you know, of that season. And the Lord gave me this verse, encouraged me with this verse. Hey, take the pressure off. I'm not putting pressure on you. You're putting more pressure on yourself than I am. In this season, with your little lambs, your kids are little, I gently lead those that are with young. So moms, especially moms of infants and preschoolers, take some pressure off. The Lord is not putting pressure on you. He gently leads you. He gives you wisdom. He gives you stamina. He gives you joy on the inside to lead you and to give you the wisdom you need to make the decisions you need to make. Probably one of the best things you can do is, like I said, take the pressure off from being this perfect mom. She doesn't exist. But as moms, we do tend to look at all the other moms and we think, oh man, she's so good at that and her house looks like this and she can bake like that and she can do 14 things at one time. And you can look at all the other moms and feel inept yourself. And comparison is a thief. It robs you of confidence. It totally robs us of joy. Even on social media, in case you happen to follow a lot of moms, and you look at their life and you're like, oh my gosh. And of course, it's social media, you guys know, it's the highlight reel of people's lives. It's not real life. Just the good pictures with all the touch-ups. So if you allow yourself to compare yourself by what you see, you'll just lose your joy and feel so inferior. If you'll just own what you're not and then own what you are, it's better. So a couple of examples. So like I knew, and I wish I would have known it sooner and not felt so, you know, guilty, but I came to realize that I am not the mom who bakes cookies. I am not that mom. I will never be that mom. I'm good with it. Even if I bake cookies, no one wants them. And that's actually kind of true. I'm also not the mom, like I can cook. If I want to cook, I can cook. I can make an amazing meal. Don't worry about it. But when you have dinner with four kids and the conversation around the dinner table is something like this, mom, how many more bites? You realize, okay, maybe that lime chicken tortilla combo platter scientific experiment wasn't appropriate. In other words, find your gifts. I know I can own it. I'm fine. It's all of you. I guarantee I'm at the bottom of the list on that department. All of you win, okay? Feel good. Feel good about yourself. You all win in the cooking department. You beat me for sure. I'm okay with it. I own that I can't cook amazingly. If I want to, I can though. But maybe I don't want to. What else do you own? Oh, I am not the jogging mom. I will never be the jogging mom. I see them go by with the joggers. And it's impressive. I've tried to walk fast. I am not the jogging mom. And I'm okay with it. But at times you think, oh no, I'm supposed to be the jogging mom. I'm supposed to be the cross-country skiing mom. Get the backpack, put them in the backpack. Be a cross-country skiing mom. You live in Michigan. No, really, we tried. We actually tried to be cross-country parents. No. It was dangerous for the kids. We only did it once. So, but own what you're not. I know I'm not the crafts mom. I volunteered when the kids were little in school. I didn't volunteer as much as the other moms. I'm not that mom. They're all way better at that. And they would make the Valentine cookies. Well, and the Christmas cookies and the Halloween, they'd make all the cookies and all the treats. They were perfect. They were perfect with beautiful icing. And I love you. I mean, they were beautiful. I was embarrassed to send in the treats. Like, don't tell them where it came from. Just put it in the stack. But I'm okay with it now. It's fine. No big deal. What am I good at? Well, I knew this. I knew I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm good at communicating. I can communicate with the kids. And that was a priority to me. So we would sit down in the car, go up to their rooms and lay on their beds and talk, or have lots of conversations around the dinner table or wherever we were. They know mom's going to ask questions and we're going to have a conversation. And we're going to have a relationship built on communication. I'm a prayer. I know I'm a prayer. I pray for my kids. I pray for our family. I own that. I know that I have an organized house. Might not have the best meals, but my house is organized and clean and looks good. Halfway decent decorator. Look, I'm good. I own what I'm good at, and I'm okay with it. I like to give good gifts. I think I'm a good gift giver. Do you agree? I think I'm a good gift giver. So, yay, that's what I do. There's things I don't. What about you? Own what you are not. No apologies needed, no guilt, because you are good at so many other things. That's the whole point. You are good at so many other things. Just be good at what you're good at, and don't sweat the small stuff. And all the moms said. All right, I want to show you this video, because this video will really encourage you, because moms, you have a perspective, and your kids have a perspective. Let's take a look.
I'm a perfectionist, and so that's hard with kids.
There's definitely days when I have my doubts about my abilities.
Struggle with my temper.
I struggle with, like, how I react with situations.
I wish I knew how to, I guess, just calm myself before speaking to them.
I wish I was better at taking time to sit down and just listen more to my child.
I wish I was more confident in being a mom.
I'm not the most patient person in the world.
Patience is far and away probably the biggest struggle.
I just want them to know just how much I love them.
My mom is totally awesome.
She's fun to snuggle with.
Pretty, funny. She does cook a lot of food for me.
She's just unique. That's why I love her so much.
We go on dates together. Like, we go shopping.
She loves me a lot.
I have a lot of favorite things about my mom.
We like to watch movies together and color and stuff.
We go to church together. We volunteer together.
She is like my heart, I guess you could say, because she's that close to me.
My favorite thing is to jump on a trampoline with my mom. That's my most favorite thing, to go up high.
We like get ice cream or something and like you go to the nail salon and have fun.
My mommy's my hero.
She's pretty and beautiful.
She is my hero.
She just will care about me and just always love me forever.
She's the best.
That's so awesome.
I always seem to focus mostly on the negative, and I guess I can walk out here and say that I'm doing something great, and that my child is viewing me in totally different lenses as I view myself. So that's inspiring.
This is my calling. This is my job. This is what I love to do, and I will do it better and with love each and every day, because those kids count on me and they love me for what I'm doing.
Isn't that great? So be encouraged, moms. Your kids would say the same things about you. We're just harder on ourselves than we need to be. So number three, joyful moms carry a charger. Well, when it comes to phones and battery life, we all know, don't we, how much battery life we have left and where the nearest outlet is. Almost always we know how to get those phones charged back up. Well, as moms, we need to also have radar that pays attention to the battery life in our family, in our husbands, in our own lives, with our kids, with each one of our kids, you know. And you could say the gauges. We've talked about gauges before, or temperature. And so, moms, I want to encourage you. This verse in Isaiah 40, verse 29, it says, "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall into exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So moms, our strength to charge us back up, it comes from waiting on the Lord. Literally, that word wait means to braid together. To just spend time with God, braided together with the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Listening to some worship music. Just alone time with God will recharge your batteries. So being strong spiritually is important. And as moms, we are the thermostat in our homes. Obviously, dads have a role along that line as well. And Pastor Jeff will talk about that on Father's Day. But related to moms, we set the thermostat in our home. There's a saying out there, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Sadly, that can be true. Why? Because if mom's in a bad mood, it's in the air. Right? You can feel it's in the water, it's in the air, it's coming through the pipes. Mom sets the thermostat in the home with joy. If you have a happy home, moms, you play a huge role in that. If there's a lot of laughter and joy and a lightheartedness, or is everybody walking on eggshells? You know, what's the thermostat in your home? You get to set it. If mom is a God lover, if mom's spiritual batteries are charged up and she's talking about the Lord and she's a worshiper and she's not getting all frazzled or living in fear and panic and torment herself, that will be reflected in the atmosphere. You'll raise faith kids because mom didn't freak. Mom's got joy and peace. If you're a worshiper, that'll be in the atmosphere of your home. If you're a prayer, it'll be in the atmosphere. In other words, moms, keep that battery charged spiritually. But then also in your soul, mind, emotions, will, your personality, your life, you know, style, so to speak. One thing I think is so important for moms, and sometimes you put everybody else's needs first, and you make sure everybody else's batteries are charged first, and that's good, but you have to charge your batteries too. And so relationships for women, so many times the thing that's going to charge your batteries, well, it's one of two things. Either it's alone time, no people, just alone time, get some alone time, carve it out, find a way to do it, or number two, secondly, it's people time. It's relationship time, usually a cup of coffee or some time shopping or doing something with a girlfriend or a couple of girlfriends. Go do something. And when your kids are in different seasons of life, you have to intentionally do it. Sometimes we're so hunkered down. We were in a season. We were so hunkered down raising kids and starting a church. I felt like I had sowed a 13-year famine in the friendship department. Like I hadn't really had time to go get a cup of coffee or go in to do anything with a girlfriend. And one day I looked around and I said, this is not good. I have not been able to sow into any friendships in a lot of years. And so I just decided to start sowing friendship seeds everywhere with everybody I met. And God gave me a bountiful harvest of friends. And in that season, one friend, she was in the same season as we were with her kids. And so we'd get our kids down at night. We tried to do it like once a month, but we'd get our kids down. And then at 9 o'clock at night, she lived in Battle Creek. We lived in Richland at the time. We'd meet up in Battle Creek and go see a 9 o'clock movie or a 9:30 movie or go see a movie just to go have some fun and do something that was adult with a friend and talk about kids and life and so on. I mean, it would be a late night. We wouldn't even get home till midnight or so, but sometimes you just have to recharge your soul battery. Then later in life, I would meet a friend of mine. She was a teacher, and before I came to work, we'd meet at 7 o'clock in the morning every Tuesday morning just for coffee at Big B's. What? Just to recharge the batteries. So you've got time. You just have to find the time. What recharges your batteries, Mom? Put it into your life. Get your schedule structured so that you can stay charged up. Now, you'll see this picture here. When you're a stay-at-home mom and daddy walks through the door, she's out. Number four, joyful moms are smarter than the CIA. Here was a texting between moms and friends. Mom number one, I'm done. I'm selling that kid on eBay. Mom number two, don't be crazy. You made him. That goes on Etsy. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Irma Bombeck said this. She said, "You show me a boy who brings a snake home to his mother, and I'll show you an orphan." What are we talking about? Moms, you're smarter than the CIA for this reason. You have the Holy Spirit. You have inside information. And so as a mom, the thing that gives you joy is you know stuff. We used to tell our kids, you can run, but you cannot hide. Because the Holy Spirit will be hot on your trail, and he will let us know whatever we need to know about making sure that we protect you, making sure we give you wisdom for choices you're making. And who's found out? Aren't you glad about this, mothers? The Holy Spirit lets you know things about your kids you need to be paying attention to. You'll have a prompting. You'll have a little unction there. You need to check up on that friend they're hanging around with so much. Maybe that's not the best influence. Maybe you need to check their social media accounts. Maybe you need to check their cell phone. Maybe you need to have a little conversation about some of the choices they're making. Or on the protection side, we've had situations over the years. I remember one situation, some folks had asked our kids to stay overnight. We just had an uneasy feeling inside. The radar went off like, bing, 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 don't do it. Like it's not, just did not have a peaceful feeling or joy-filled feeling on the inside at all. Didn't have any reason, really. We just didn't feel it on the inside. So we told the kids, we said, no, you can't stay overnight. You know, that's just not going to happen. And no. Well, found out years later, probably 10 or 15 years later, found out that particular father had been arrested for abusing his own daughter as a sexual predator. So what was that? That's the Holy Spirit. This is why you have the advantage, moms. A joyful mom is smarter than the CIA because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside to help you protect your kids, help you to guide your kids, help you to pull out the gifts and the callings in your kids. You'll recognize their bents way before they do. You'll see things in them that they don't see. And you can speak into it as they're growing up. You can speak into the seeds that you see on the inside. And all the moms said, all right, number five, joyful moms do not believe in sleep. I love this meme. How do I put this? You will never sleep in again. Well, all the new moms, you know that for sure. But it's true no matter how old. Moms, how many of you know you like are half asleep even when you're asleep? Because you're waiting when they're in high school and driving, you're waiting for them to come in. You're waiting to hear the door. You're waiting for them to come up and say, I'm home. And so you're like half asleep. You just have to resign yourselves, moms, that sleep is now a thing of the past. Period. Return. Proverbs 20, verse 13. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Keep your eyes open. No problem for a joyful mother. It just happens. And there will be plenty to eat. This mother, she was 28, she said this. She said, you miss them when they go to bed, when they go to sleep. But at the same time, you are so relieved they're finally sleeping. It's just true, isn't it? It's just true as it relates to sleep. That once you become a mom, you don't get as much of it. And you just have to resign yourself to it because it's worth it to have your attention internally and physically focused on the kids. Then you can find ways to get sleep. Now, let me give you a couple little nuggets here if you haven't already figured this out. Who knows a great place to sleep, mothers, is at soccer practice and or games. Especially, as Pastor Aaron said, especially if they're outside, just wear your sunglasses, you're good. Who knows another great place to get caught up on sleep is the movie theater. We don't know if all dogs go to heaven. We've heard that they do, but in that season, we just went to the movies to sleep, and the kids watched the movies. So, but moms know that, and moms are okay with it, because there's a joy on the inside. Like, you know, yeah, everybody else needs to sleep. Kids need their sleep, but moms, you have learned to live without it, and that's a good thing, and you'll get whatever you need as you need it. Number six, joyful moms don't freak out. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Something about the dials, the barometers of joy and peace. As a mom, you make a decision. I'm not a freak out mom. I'm not an alarmist. Listen, some moms thrive on panic. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, where's the keys? Where's the keys? No, where's Johnny? Oh my God, the bottle. Stop, grab him, don't. You're like on edge when you're with him. Don't be that mom. Don't be the freak out mom. Don't be the panic stricken mother. Don't be the alarmist. Why? Because you're the thermostat setter. Your kids will pick that up. And what will happen is they'll pick up anxiety. You be the joy and peace in believing mom. Yes, what you just told me on the inside, my eyes are bugging out of my head. You did what? But on the outside to the kids, oh, well, praise the Lord. You'll be grounded for life, but that's okay. Get the idea? You're calm and you have joy and peace. You don't freak out about stuff. In James 1, talks about when you go through a difficult time, a challenging time, and with your kids, there are challenging times. We all know that. He says, when you face difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can. Goes on to say, knowing if you'll be patient, at the end of patience, you'll be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. There's just something, moms, about being calm. About being that mom that you can't rattle me. I'm not going to get rattled because I'm anchored in God. My faith is in the Lord. My faith is in what I've prayed about concerning you, my kids. That's a good place to be. This little camper said, dear mom and dad, I love everything about this camp except the campers. Love, Serena. Your goal as a mom is to help your kids to become independently dependent upon the Lord. And when you don't freak out, what that enables the kids to do is to figure it out. If you don't hover too much and bail them out every time, or as some people call it, helicopter parents, it makes your kids have to figure it out, and that's a good thing. These days, as you guys know in the culture, man, oh man, a lot of kids coming up, the next generation, they don't have coping skills. They've not learned how to cope with disappointment. They've not learned how to cope when everyone doesn't get a trophy. In real life, everyone doesn't. In real life, you might not get that job. In real life, you might not get the promotion. And we have to help our kids, moms. We have to help our kids deal with disappointment when they're under our roof. And how do they cope with and manage their emotions and not have a meltdown and a temper tantrum and the craziness that happens these days? Well, moms, you have to model it. You can't have a temper tantrum and a meltdown. You're just not a mom who freaks out. You're full of joy and peace in believing. And you model it, and the kids go, oh, that's how we deal with disappointment. That's how it is dealt with when I don't get my way. That's how I respond. And we have to help our kids understand consequences. We don't freak out if the kids do something stupid. We just let them experience the consequences of the stupid choice. Life has consequences, right? So moms, that'll keep you in peace and joy. You don't have to be alarmed and panic stricken and reacting to everything going on. No, you keep your emotions in check. You're the parent. I'd say this to Luke a lot of times when kids were growing up. Luke was always real independent, you know, and he still is, and he's a good leader. He'd be a great leader. But I'd say to Luke, I'll be the mom, you be the child. Well, you know, mom, sometimes you have to say that to yourself. I'll be the mom. I will be the mom today. I'm not freaking out. Number 7, joyful moms act like farmers. Mark 4:14 says, the sower sows the word. Moms, that's what you do. What a great calling. You get to sow the word. What word? The word of God, God's word, the Bible. That means the word's in you. You're spending time in God's word. The word's in you. You can give it to your kids. You can sow seeds. We'll talk about that in a minute. Also, it means you get to sow words of encouragement, words to lift them up. You get to be in their corner cheering them on. And all of you that are adults, you know this now, don't you? Adults. Don't we all know now how important it is to have people in your corner cheering you on? Don't we all know now how few people celebrate others? Don't we know that now? How so many in our culture these days are critical and jealous and envious and mean-spirited. And so to go back in time to tell your younger self, man, if I could go back in time, I want to cheer people on. I want to celebrate people. I want to be that kind of person. Because as you become an adult, you realize those people are less and less. The Bible even says, the Bible predicts, the love of many in the last days will grow cold. I think we're in those days. But not in the church. In the church, we should be the people full of love, right? And as moms, as joyful moms, man, we get to sow seeds into our kids to celebrate them, to cheer them on, to build them up, to lift them up, to let them know. Maybe nobody else is cheering for you, but I'm cheering for you. I remember numerous conversations with Annie. She'd, you know, say something about her hair or picture her outfit or something. I say, Annie, you're beautiful. That looks great on you. You have a beautiful smile. Your hair is beautiful. You look like a model. And she'd go, Mom, you're just saying that because you're my mother. Yes, I am saying that because I'm your mother, but it's true. I'll be your biggest cheerleader. Moms, we are, aren't we? The biggest cheerleaders for our kids. We get to sow those seeds. Let's do it. I love this one. I love how we don't have to say out loud that I'm your favorite child. I think all your kids would like that, wouldn't they? Okay, last but not least, number 8, joyful moms laugh at the future. Proverbs 31, verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. She has a strength, Mom, you have a strength, and you have dignity, and you laugh without fear of the future. Man, we live in a culture, you could laugh, you could be in fear about the future, but you laugh at the future. I like what this little meme says here, the minion. When I die, I want my last words to be, I left $1 million under the... You can laugh at the future. Why? Because you're in rest. Why? Why are you in rest? Because you prayed. Because you know God. Because you believe his word. Because you prayed for those kids of yours. You've been praying for them. You had prayed out the track that they will run on. You say, but I haven't. Well, you can start today. You might say, but I haven't prayed. I haven't prayed hardly at all for my kids. Well, you can start today. Aren't you so glad God hears? And he says, if you ask anything according to my will, you know that I hear you. And if you know that I hear you, you have the petitions you've desired. You can start praying today for your kids and pray every day for protection, for wisdom, for guidance, for the right friends, for God's calling, God's gifts, opportunities, doors to open. You can pray that stuff. And that, moms, that gives you great joy on the inside. And it's easy to laugh about the future. And it's easy to listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings when he says, pray for your daughter, pray for your son. They're out and about. I'm not going to tell you all the details because the Holy Spirit's not a gossip. He doesn't tell you all the details, thank God. But it does give you the prompting. Pray for them. Pray for your kids right now. And keep your heart in a place of joy and peace in believing. Amen. What a privilege, isn't it? What a privilege and an honor to be able to be a mom. And what a privilege to be able to be a joy-filled mom. Not afraid of the future, not afraid of all the crazy stuff out there. Why? Because we have a big God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. You know, we sing a song around here. We wrote the song, so we sing it. And the song is something we prayed and said over our kids and our family from the time they were born. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the angels of God surround you and protect you front to back, side to side, top to bottom, spirit, soul, and body. Everywhere you go, you're protected. You're accepted. You're loved. We'd get them on the school bus. We'd say, and today as you go to school, you're a good friend to your friends. And today is going to be a day of fill in the blank. And then we'd pick a theme for the day, a day of laughter, a day of wisdom, a day of good choices. Moms, you can do it. You can laugh at the future. Why? Because you're in rest. Why are you in rest? Because you prayed and you live in joy and peace. And all the people said. Amen. All right, let's conclude with this. You might say, well, I'm a kid. What can I do to bring my mom more joy? Here's what you can do. 3 John 4, he said this. He said, I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. You know, it could be that you're here today. Maybe you came to church today, you're watching online or watching by TV, and somehow you stumbled upon today's service because your mom invited you. Your mom invited you to church. It's Mother's Day. And you said, okay, Mom, I'll go to church. But do you know the thing that would give your mother no greater joy? It would be for you to walk in the truth, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have a full surrender to the Lord, to invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to make a decision to say, okay, you know, I'm just, it's a starting point for me today. Mom, you've been praying for it for years. Today's going to be a new day for me as the kid. And you might be a 50-year-old kid. You might be a 30-year-old kid. But nothing, I guarantee you, whether your mother's living or your mother's with the Lord, I guarantee you, nothing, nothing, there's nothing on planet Earth that would bring your mother more joy than for you to walk in the truth. And Jesus said he was the truth. For you to know him personally, man, you want to give your mother the best Mother's Day gift ever? Best mother's gift ever, and it'll last forever. Come to Christ. Invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Make a quality decision today to be a Christian, to follow the Lord. And you, I'm not kidding, man, you will so give your mother great joy.